my experiences that are most frequently asked about Hilchas Yom Tov in general, not the specific Yom Tovim, but the Hilchas Yom Tov per se, are how is one allowed to cook in Yom Tov, given the most recent iterations of various stoves and ovens. The second, perhaps almost equally frequent, is the question, Baruch Hashem, people often get Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tovim. And one of the questions that come up in greater frequency than ever before is, what's the din of a chutznik who comes to Eretz Yisrael and spends Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael? And third is probably a very frequently asked question when it comes to this upcoming Tishrei, because we have, Baruch Hashem, 3 days of Kedusha together, but for Americans that means 3 days of not showering. So what's the halach in terms of showering on Yom Tov? So again, since those are the most frequent issues, I think, and ones where you find some discussion, in some cases it's legitimate, in some cases it's not really a legitimate discussion. So let's look at those areas so that you'll have familiarity with the Makoros, and when you have to paskin, you'll be able to paskin from a position of understanding the Makoros and the issues. Let's start with the issue of cooking in Yom Tov. So you all know that Yom Tov is distinct from Shabbos, and that the Torah says in Parshas Boy that Melechus Eichel Nefesh one is allowed to do in Yom Tov. Shabbos, the 39 Melechus are Osir, and on Yom Tov, Melisha Ve'elach is Mutter. Melisha Ve'elach means that one's allowed to bake and to cook on Yom Tov, when we're allowed to knead a dough on Yom Tov, Lisha and Bishol. And similarly, one would be allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. It's questioned whether that would be applicable now as well. The fact that we don't shecht on Yom Tov is a discussion that for practical reasons, they don't shecht on Yom Tov, or do we say that nowadays it's no longer a melacha that is necessary, no longer melechas echel nefesh, let me put it this way, that it's no longer a melechas echel nefesh because there's nothing lost by doing the shechita on Erev Yom Tov. Now, Chazal said, midiraisa, obviously, melechas echel nefesh butter. Chazal said, any melechas echel nefesh that could be done Erev Yom Tov without compromising the echel nefesh, so Chazal said that's also. So we generally assume that does not apply to cooking or baking, that cooking or baking a day early will make the item not taste as good as it could. Does it apply to shechting meat? Right? So that's a question which some of the Sfarim discuss. But it's not halacha l'maisa because I don't have any shloch tells it's open yontif anyways. But when it comes to bishul, so that is the question that what every home negotiates is what are the halachas of bishul on Yom Tov. So when it comes to Yom Tov, one is allowed to cook. One is allowed to increase a fire, even though on Shabbos that would be the malach of Havara. And Yom Tov, Havara is mutter. Certainly Havara l'tzarech, and certainly Havara l'tzarech echel nefesh. The one limitation that Chazal placed on the din of bishul on Yom Tov is that it's also lahoilid ur, when you cannot initiate a fire in Yom Tov. And on Shabbos, initiating a fire is a melech of Havara. On Yom Tov, where Havara and Havara l'tzarech echel nefesh is mutter, so Chazal said, but one cannot initiate a fire, one cannot strike a match on Yom Tov. Why did Chazal say that one cannot initiate a fire? So the Rambam says, because that is a melacham she'ef shalasoysa miyesmo. Because I could initiate a fire yesterday and keep a fire going, and my ochel nefesh will not be limited in any way at all. Person turns on the stove erev yom tov and keeps it going all the way through yom tov. So your food is not going to be any different whether the fire was turned on Erev Yom Tov or not on Erev Yom Tov. So it's a meleches echel nefesh, it's a machshir echel nefesh, she'efshar la'asoy soy meyesmo, something that is not directly done to take care of the food. It's something which is done in order to be to have the setup in place to be able to do the echel nefesh, machshir echel nefesh, she'efshar la'asoy meyesmo. And Rashi has a chiddush. Rashi says that the din, the iser of starting a fire, is the iser of moilid. That there's a din that one isn't allowed to make something new in Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the Gemara introduces that idea in the context of squeezing ice to make water. Gemara says that's an iser of moilid. It was ice, it was a solid form. Now I'm actively doing some masa to cause a liquid to come out of a solid and to have the liquid pool together. That's the iser of moilid. So Rashi explains that the iser of initiating a fire on Yom Tov is the iser of moilid. Rashi is a chiddush that Chazal said that it is osur to do something that is creative, so creative they create something new. Rashi explains that Chazal understood Yordu Chazal Oimik Hadin, and they understood that the overarching defining criteria of what is a melacha is that it's a moilid, it creates something new. So Chazal then said, we're going to make an Iser moilid. It's a fascinating concept. Chazal formulated Ner Havana in the halacha. So Chazal, Rashi says that initiating a fire in Yom Tov is a violation of the din of moilid. So nowadays, every time you turn on the oven, every time you turn on the stove, you are doing the act of havara. You don't turn on stove there, don't do it on Shabbos. And you're also being moilid ur, right? Unless you have a dinosaur oven. Right? If you have an old oven, either that your parents have been investing money into for a long time, every time it breaks, or if you have somehow, maybe you might still be in the Heights, you can find these ovens, where there still is a pilot light. And that is, that's why this whole issue was not even discussed 25, 30 years ago. Because every gas range had a pilot, that means that every gas range had an ongoing gas feed, and there was an ongoing flame. And when you turned on the range, you turned on the oven, all you were doing was producing a gas flow from the existing flame to the area that you wanted to cook. So at the bottom of the oven was a pilot light, and then when you turned it up, the gas then brought the flame to the where you put the pot, right? The only place, if nowadays, because of government regulation, they don't do pilot lights in stoves anymore. You still have pilot lights in your hot water heaters. And if you live in a house, it's very close at hand. Your hot water heaters still have pilot lights, I believe. Maybe not. No, they may also have igniters now. Not sure. So nowadays, your ovens do not have any ongoing gas feed. Every time you turn on the oven, you hear a few clicks. And those clicks are an electric, that's when you're opening up the gas, and the electric igniter then creates a flame. So whereas 30 years ago, we would have an oven, and we would even turn it on Yom Tov, we go from zero on, because all you were doing, you're not being moilid ur. The fire was there. You're just taking the ur from the other place. It was a gas oven. So nowadays, every time you turn on a gas oven, what you're doing is you're being moilid ur. That's nisa d'rabbanan. You can't do that. On an electric ovens were always an issue on Yom Tov, because electric oven, the way most electric ovens work is, obviously if it's off, So it's nothing's happening. When you turn on an electric oven, so then you're doing the Iser of initiating electricity in Shabbos. So that not mutter for Bishul. So if you have an end, when it comes to, if you leave a flame on in Yom Tov, then you cook on the flame. If you need higher, then you turn the flame up. Because all you're doing is increasing the amount of gas when it comes to the flame. So you're not being boiled or you're being mavi. Mavi is mutter. Right? And when it comes to an electric oven, you don't have that license. Because an electric oven, what often happens is when you increase the flame of electric oven, you are closing certain circuits and opening up other circuits. In other words, when you have a gas range, and you go, or a gas oven, and you go from 250 to 300, or you have a gas flame, and you go from low to high, all you're doing is providing more gas. So in that case, you're not being moiled, or you're doing havara. Havara is water in Yom Tov. When you, on an electric oven, when you go from low to high, so if all you'd be doing was increasing the flow of electrons or increasing the resistance, that would be mutter in Yom Tov. But since on Yom, how many ovens work is that when you go from low to high, you're shutting down the low circuit and you're opening up the high circuit, so in fact you are once again being moiled ur on Yom Tov. So that's why electric ovens, unless one knows otherwise, one would not change electric ovens at all. Electric range oven at all. You wouldn't change it at all in Yom Tov. You have to open up whatever flame you want in the beginning of Yom Tov, and it stays that way. You can't raise it, you can't lower it. When it comes to a gas range or a gas oven, so you leave the gas fire on from Erev Shabbos, from Erev Yom Tov, and then on Yom Tov, you can raise it because you need to cook. Are you allowed to lower the flame on Yom Tov? So the halacha is you're allowed to do kibui in order to be able to cook. But you can't do kibui stam. So let's say a person, you've cooked your chicken. So then there's no reason to turn the flame down. You take the chicken out of the oven. You're done. So why would you want to do kibbutz? You want to do kibbutz because you want to save on the gas bill. That's not mutter in Yom Tov. You want to do kibbutz because it's getting too hot? That's not a reason to do kibbutz. Right? So, on the other hand, however, let's say you want to keep the chicken warm. You cook the chicken, and you're not eating for another 30, 40 minutes. So you want to keep the chicken warm. But if you keep the chicken going at broil, keep the chicken going at 360, so it's going to burn, it'll get dry. So then your kibbutz is letzarech echol nefesh. Right? If there'll be a significant change in taste by keeping it, if it's a question of 2 minutes, 3 minutes, probably you can't turn it down for 2 or 3 minutes. But if you want to keep the food warm, and by keeping the food warm on the high flame, you're going to end up either drying out the chicken, or you may end up boiling away the soup. Or you want to keep the soup hot. If you keep it hot in a high flame, you'll end up boiling it away. So you'll have less soup and you'll become very salty. All right, so that would be a reason why you could turn the flame down in order to keep the soup warm and not burn it away. So Shlomo Zalman said, not so fast. Shlomo Zalman said, but you have four burners on your range. So Shlomo Zalman said, in the days when there were pilot lights, Shlomo Zalman said, I have my soup. It's now fully cooked. I'm not going to eat for another half hour. If I leave it on the high flame, it's going to become less salted. So Shlomo says, so move the soup to another coil or another range and turn it up. Why not? Because you'll have to turn something up to keep it hot. And when you turn it up, there's a pilot light there. So therefore it was not moiled. So Shlomo Zalman said, I can't do kibbutz because there's no need to do kibbutz or echol nefesh. I have a much easier solution. I just move it over. So lemaisa nowadays, that turning on another flame would be moiled, so we would not Shlomo Zalman's chumrah would no longer apply. If I can't move it over because that'll be moiled, so I keep it here. And Rav Moshe never accepted Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach. Rav Moshe, even in the days when there wasn't a violation of moiled, Rav Moshe writes, "I'm allowed to do kibur l'tzarech ha'echel. I don't have to make a cheshbon." Well, it's not a kibur l'tzarech because I could. Rav Moshe held once the Torah said that kibur is mutter l'tzarech ha'echel nefesh. It's mutter. I don't have to make a cheshbon that I can get away without doing the kibur. That's what Rav Moshe said in a very brief tshuva. Later on, Rav Moshe was criticized. He wrote a longer tshuva. But he made the same point. He just made the same point, despite that you could... He said, even though I could support Rav Shlomo Zalman by saying that Havar is mamash hutra l'tzorech, and it's not even osir, afalpikein, I think my svar is good. That seems an interesting tshuva. The tshuva came to defend his detractors, and he was saying, afalpikein, my svar is a gewaldige svar. Okay, so... go ahead.
So we said originally that according to the Rambam, melacha that you shouldn't be doing is because you should have done it earlier. So that's still shaykh now, even if we're talking about gas, because you could have just turned it on before you went
to. I don't understand the question at all.
But we were saying that on yontif, what's the melacha of raising up a fire on a gas stove? So it's not molid eish because there's already a pre-existing fire.
Yeah.
So according to the Rambam, it would be also because you should have turned it on before yontif.
Going to everybody. Moilid is also going to everybody.
No, I'm saying not with the Moilid Svar, with the Rambam Svar, which would be awesome.
No, but Moilid, again, let me, there's an Iser of Moilid Eish.
That's a Chiddush of Rashi, I'm saying.
No, I wasn't clear. There's an Iser of Moilid Eish. He can start a new fire on Yom Tov. End of story. There are two reasons why Moilid Eish is also. Rashi says it's part of the Hilchus Moilid, and the Rambam says it's part of Hilchus Hechshem Machshir Echel Nefesh.
But the
Iser is the same Iser. According to Rashi Rambam, Lachar is the same Iser of same Iser Rabbanon of not initiating a fire. And that's your question.
According to the Rambam, that it's that Svara of Moled Eish is its own still within the Havara, so it should be also even on a gas stove because it has nothing to do with the fact that you're just adding gas. You still should have had it at this level before Yom Tov.
No, that's not correct, because the Chazal did not say that turning up and down a fire is called Hechsher Oichel Nefesh. They didn't say every single act of Havar is Hechsher Oichel Nefesh. They said that creating a fire is Hechsher Oichel Nefesh. It's not Machshiv Oichelim. Right, just like Chazal didn't say, well, I could have put the salt in yesterday, so therefore that's called... No. Machshir means creating a hechsher, creating the fire. I do not know of a nafkin between Rashi and Rambam.
Isn't that not as the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, what we say machshir not? Meaning, if we would say machshir across the board, it's always usher.
Yeah, I don't know of a nafkin between Rashi and Rambam.
Being, I don't know about the
Zadok
days, but the gas oven... You can turn on the gas without turning on the igniter, and then transfer a flame from one burner to another. Is that considered molid eish? But to light a new item, let's say a candle, from the existing flame and transfer it over to another burner?
Once you have an existing flame, it is never called molid.
So now, next
detail. Is there a way of turning on your range on Yom Tov, right? He wants to know, woman comes, says, I can't, for me it's very difficult to leave all my flames on, or even one flame on, or I forgot to turn my flame on. So is there a way? So there are different kinds of ranges, right? When we see range, we're referring to the top of the oven, as opposed to the oven, which is the bottom part of the oven. All right, so then the top part of the oven, you turn your dial on. All right, so now next time you'll notice that sometimes the electric igniter is at the beginning of the dial and sometimes at the end of the dial. And sometimes you turn the dial on and right over here you hear click 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 click. That means your igniter is the beginning of the turn. Sometimes you turn it to the very end of the twist. You get the click, and once you get the flame, you go back and lower it. So, what's your first name?
Simon.
What Simon is suggesting is, correctly, that if my model is such that the clicker is at the end of the dial, that means I can open up the gas, and I can transfer a flame from an existing flame, which is the way that many, many homes do this. They're called, that's what Yahrzeit candles were for, if you have Baruch Shem, you have parents. Right? Now you have a candle, now you can get even 48, 72-hour candles, and you started Erev Yom Tov, and then you have now your existing flame. Then you can leave your gas flames off. This only works for gas flames. Don't try and do this for an electric flame. So the only... I'm glad you found that funny, otherwise I get nervous. For the gas flame, you can... Now you have your existing flame. There's no problem with moilit now, because you're always going to be transferring. So now you can take a match or a candle or something, light it, open up your gas range, get the gas going, light it, gewaldig. Now, what happens if your clicker is at the beginning of the dial? So then it's a problem, because every time you turn, the moment you turn on, you're already starting a spark, and that's moilit eish. Sometimes you can experiment, and sometimes if you turn the dial very quickly, you can skip the clicking. So that could work. That would be another option. Okay, so that those are options where there's no moilit, right? But you are transferring, so that would all be mutter. You have to be very careful in terms of kibbutz, because once you light your flame, now you're stuck with a match or a candle. Can't blow it out. Right? You have to put it in a sink. Let it go. Go ahead. Rishloma, correct. Right, and that's in that scenario, Shlomo Zalman would then say, instead of doing kibbutz into the soup, do right. But I would strongly advocate Rav Moshe's position in this case, again, because we're talking about, because Rav Moshe's cheshbon is that once kibbutz became mutter, it's not like kibbutz is duchuya. Shlomo Zalman said, if kibbutz would be duchuya and yom tif, all right, you have to make a cheshbon. Is there a way that I don't have to do kibbutz? He says, no, kibbutz is mutter. You don't make cheshbonos of how not to do molach. That was really Rav Moshe's argument against Shlomo Zalman. Go ahead.
The whole discussion of kibbutz was in a gas oven or gas stove, or was it also an electric?
L'chaira, kibbutz would apply in electric as well.
Because didn't we say that if once you're switching from temperature, like let's say 300 to 250 or whatever it is, then you're using different circuits?
Right.
So wouldn't
that's why you can't. Yeah, it's a problem. That's why you can't. That's why an electric range, unless you know otherwise, you can't. It's fixed. You can't move it up or down.
So that's a problem for a kibbutz also.
Can't, moving it up or down. Up is havara, down is kibbutz. Correct. All right. So again, it's clear. When it comes to an electric oven, electric stove, on yom tov, so l'chora, there's nothing. You cannot move it up or down or change it in any way at all. Right, moving it up is havara, down is kibbutz. Why? And that is again based on the concern that you're switching circuits. If one does the research and one finds that this particular brand is different, and this particular brand does not change circuitry, but it, let's say in the oven, it just leaves it on longer, or it increases the electrons, it changes the resistance, and then it would be mutter to change the electric up or down on the yom tif. Again, I'm not aware of brands that do that, so that's why one should assume otherwise, unless one has that research in hand. Okay? When it comes to gas, so when it comes to a gas range where you have the flame sitting right in front of you, so then you have to be careful nowadays to have the flame going or have an existing flame going and not use the electric igniter because that would be a form of moilit. However, once the flame is on, then you can move it up without any problems, if Litzarech Echol Nefesh, and you can only move it down if it's also Litzarech Echol Nefesh. And the one scenario I can imagine of that is either where the recipe calls for high and low, right? And if you don't do low, then you'll end up burning and scorching it, or where the item is fully cooked and you want to keep it warm, and keeping it on the high flame would ruin the food. Okay? Now, when it comes to the oven, so again, there's a similar situation. The gas you can leave on whatever you're going to set at 360. The oven, if it's electric, you also have to leave it still, right? There is an additional concern when it comes to opening ovens on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's the concern of Psik Reisha. How is that? Because with your oven, what's going to happen to your oven is that you set it at 360. It will get to 360. And then it shuts off, both the electric and the gas. When you open the oven door, so then the thermostat will sense that you now have gone below 360, and it's going to ignite the gas. So l'chari, that's a problem. It's called Psik Reisha. Shabbos would be yosser. Right? Yeah. Shabbos, you can only open the oven or the electric if you know the flame's on. Right? If you see that the flame is going, so then you can open the door because it's going to keep the flame going. So you're not doing anything. Right? But if you see the flame's off, then when you open it, then the flame's going to end up going. All right, so there are poskim who say that on Shabbos you can open the door and take all the food out. Why? Because that's a psik reisha de loy nechale. Right? So why is that mutter? Psik reisha is also wasser psik loy nechale. It's also wasser, no?
It's a grama
mistake? No, it's also wasser. Both. Why is it? The groma, there are those who say it's groma because the air is coming in and bringing it down. But l'chera, when you know something's for sure going to happen, what is it in Miskaven? No, segregation is Miskaven. Segregation is, right? Segregation is, yeah. So l'chera, that's a problem. But I don't understand why people are makel to take all the food out on the Shabbos. I'm going to do it, I can understand. Because Psik Reisha, to have a goy do Psik Reisha, so many, many post commission brewers seem to say is mutter. There's no Easter Psik Reisha by a goy. There's no Amir Nochem in Psik Reisha. Amir Nochem means asking her to do something for me. Ask a goy to open up the oven. All right, take her the food. Now it's going to end up causing Havara. There was no Amir Nochem in Havara. That happened by itself. So there are posts where Machmer, but Lachar, Mishnah Brewer's Makel, and Rav Shechter's Makel on Amila Nochri for Psik Reisha. Right? But now let's come to Yom Tov. So Yom Tov, I'm going to open my oven door. So in the time of pilot lights, no problem. Open the oven door, and now goes down from 360, goes down to 340, goes down very, very quickly nowadays. And the thermostat is very, very sensitive. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is, the system's going to bring more gas to the flame. Zachmut, it's havar. But nowadays, b'zmanenu anu, that's not what happened. B'zmanenu anu, when it comes, when you set your oven at 360, it shuts down. Nothing's happening inside. All that's happening is that the excellent insulation of the oven is keeping this at 360. Right? Then when it dips below 360, what happens? Click, 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 click. Right? You hear the clicking. And the electric igniter gets the message from the thermostat, time to start a flame, time to do moilin, and time to bring the gas up. No. It happens by itself, it's a gevaldik. But when you open the door, hold on a minute, when you open the door, so now you're doing a psik reisha. Hold on, I'll get to a second. When it gets to psik, so now when you open the door, so then you're going to hear the click, click, click right away. So you're doing a psik reisha on moilid. So that lendi is mutter. Why? Because There are poskim who say apsikresha on a drabonon kal is mutter. Apsikresha on a regular drabonon, that we hold as osir. Apsikresha on a regular drabonon that's like nechale, that's a tumult in the Mishnah Brura, and sounds like we should be machmen. Apsigresha on a drabbonon de lo nechale, that's a terch mitzvah, mutter. Over here, l'chayra, if you take all the food out, so it would be apsigresha on a drabbonon de lo nechale and a mitzvah. That taka would be, that would taka work. But over here, when you, let's say you're opening the opening the door to put food in, so it's a psikresha on a drabbonon kal, right? It's not a psikresha on a drabbonon de gemalacha. So if Neuvert writes a psikreshan and a dronan kal, I think it goes to Chazanish, that is mutter. So Luchar, that's what we were saying.
Even shaloy litzvah
mitzvah? Even shaloy litzvah. Well, here it's a tzvah mitzvah. It's a cooking yom tov.
Do we have two things operating now?
I believe.
Psikreshan and a dronan tzvah mitzvah?
No, but that only helps for Nechale. I'm assuming Nechale over here. Right? So Luchar, that's what we were saying. In other words, again, how do we use our ovens and yom tov? So lechora, either we are being samech in some kind of grama, which is probably shvach to say that, because our thermostats nowadays, years ago, wasn't so shvach because the thermostats weren't so good. But nowadays, the insulation is gewaldig, and the thermostats are also gewaldig. Nowadays, I've experimented many, many times, and within a few seconds, your oven senses that the temperature has dropped, right? And it's not in rooms like this that are freezing. It's in a regular, well-heated room. So, and that's what the science says. That's what the information over the internet says, that the thermostats are very, very sensitive. So what are we being saymachan when we open our ovens? We're being saymachan and I'm doing a psik reisha on a drabonon of moilid. So we're being saymachan that moilid is an iser kal. It's not an iser of malacha. And that's why we open our ovens, even though we're going to be moiled eish with the electric igniter. All right. So we got it. So we come to the point now where we know how to use our ovens on Yom Tov, right? And our ranges, whether we can lower or raise them, right? It'll depend on whether we're being moiled or not. How we can open and close our oven doors on Yom Tov. I would say the same thing L'chor is for electric ones as well. L'chor is also a psikresha on a derabonah dekedin. Alright? So that's how we can use everything. Alright? So we have one big issue we have to discuss, and that's the Shabbos mode at the moment. But there's a question over here.
Yeah.
No, in front of you. The one that I... what's your name?
No,
Daniel. Daniel, go ahead.
So in the end we say that it can be done?
Yeah. Can be done. Yeah. Good.
You quoted somebody b'shem Chazanish.
Rav Neuvert in the Shmir Shams Gilchasa. Right, he's the author of Shmir Shams Gilchasa. Rav Neuvert, he wrote a third volume of Kolol and Yisoides, and there in the footnotes he quotes this in the Psik Reisha. Rav Neuvert, you have to know, Rav Neuvert is a towering figure. Because Rav Neuvert, first of Shmir Shabbos Kol Hasav in itself was like the first Halacha Lamaisa digest of Hilchos Shabbos. Came out in the '60s, but Rav Neuvert was the first one who did the Kehilchos Sefer, and there's a whole genre of Svarim now, all the Kehilchos that you have the text on the top, footnotes on the bottom, and with the modern poskim going back to that's all Rav Neuvert. Mamash was the first one; it didn't happen before. So he was, and it's a fascinating story. I'm time right now, but the fascinating story. He made a certain neder because he was forced to go on a boat to escape from Europe. He was a young boy. I'm not sure if he was bar mitzvah, maybe just bar mitzvah. He was forced on a boat on Yom Tov. It was forced by Bederech Rishus. In other words, he knew he had to go on the boat because Pikuach Nefesh, but the boat wasn't leaving until after Shabbos. So the guy wanted to save the Jews and shtoch them anyways. And they made him go on Shabbos. So he felt, when he found out that it wasn't necessary, so he made a Kabbalah, that he would write a sefer of in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the whole. Yeah. Good. Go ahead.
Just to clarify, so we said that the Molad Ish on Yom Tov is
the Rabbanon.
We said everybody wasn't comfortable with people opening on Shabbos because Molad Ish.
I think, yeah.
That's more chomer by Shabbos.
Boiled nesh is the deraisa Shabbos. That's havar in Shabbos.
But machshirei ochel nefesh.
Nothing in Shabbos is no. No,
that was the question that we asked earlier when the Mishabru was made by a goy. That was because it was a Darais on Shabbos.
To have a goy open up your oven on Shabbos is an amiral and nachri of a psikresha.
That's okay.
So amiral and psikresha, Mishnah Berurah says, okay, Rosh Hashanah this passes, okay, there are, I think Rav Chaim Knesset says not so. But I think we should work with that. Yeah.
Is there any way nowadays for our ovens to know when the igniter is on and to preferably open it then?
When the flame's on.
No, there's no flames now.
No, no, no. Our ovens have flames when, you know, when you turn your, when you're cooking, your oven has a flame, right? It's just it, right? And then when it hits the temperature that you set it to, then it goes off, right? So I don't know.
Nowadays, there's really not a flame in the oven that we can see. Know when it's on or off.
So I don't know. I'm not sure the answer to that is, because sometimes ovens have doors at the bottom that you can peek up. That there might be. I don't know, say categorically.
Let's try to move on.
Okay. So let's do the Shabbos mode. All right. What's Shabbos mode? Shabbos mode is that Rav Heinemann is a great posek and also a very, very practical person. And also very, very savvy in terms of marketing. And he got the major brands to develop a Sabbath mode. GE is a Sabbath mode. I think Honeywell, many of the major brands have a Sabbath mode. A Sabbath mode does several things. One thing that a Sabbath mode does is that you hit one button and all the lights go off. So therefore you can open your fridges on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right, and all the digital readouts go off. Very often, with fridges, you open them up, and then the whole show goes on. You have the lights go on, the temperature goes on. You all know what's going on. So Shabbos mode, you open up the old days and just open up. No lights, no digital readouts. Good. So the Shabbos mode knocks out the digital readouts. Sometimes when you open the oven door, you'll end up changing the digital readouts. The Shabbos mode takes care of all digits of Gevaldin. Okay. Next thing, the Shabbos mode, which is very, very important, is that in most states now, from what I understand, they've legislated that all ovens have to have a 12-hour cutoff. Right? So if you're cooking something and you're cooking a cholent or whatever, you're cooking something and you leave the house, go for an overnight or something, so Baruch Hashem, your oven will cut off at 12 hours. You cannot leave it. It will not be an automatic cutoff. Good? So that is terrible for Yom Tov, for 2 days Yom Tov, 3 days Yom Tov. So the Shabbos mode overrides the 12-hour cutoff. All right? And every Jewish home has to have. Next. The third thing the Shabbos mode does, the first two things Shabbos mode does is Gevaldik. Right? Takes out any of the readouts, any of the psik ratios of the readouts or the lights, and the 12-hour cutoff. The third thing the Shabbos mode does in ovens is there any Yechidish. And that is that When you're on Shabbos mode and you have an oven with Shabbos mode, the way it works, as far as I understand nowadays in 2017, is that when you want to move from 250 to 360, it doesn't go from 250 to 360. There's something going on inside that I don't fully understand, and it keeps on cycling through, unaware of what's going on around it. But if you want to higher temperature, so then this thing which cycles through on its cycle, at some point it finds out that you change the thermostat, and then it initiates the new temperature. So Rabbi Heinemann thinks that makes it into a grama, because when you go from 250 to 360, you're not. How do you do it? You can't even read it out. You know what you're doing. So it's a very intricate system. Every single time that you hit the keypad, it's 10 degrees. Because you don't know what you're doing, because you're doing it blind, because it's Shabbos mode, so the readout doesn't work. So you have to remember where you put it. 250, hit the button, now it's 260, again, 270, 280, right? And he says, nothing's happening. At some point, within I don't know how much time, but probably within not more than a few minutes or whatever, the machine cycles through and finds out that you now set a faith fixing it, and then it's a moilidor and puts it on. So Rabbi Heinemann thinks that that is a grama, and therefore he permits raising the flame, and I believe lowering the flame also through the Shabbos mode. So this approach of Heinemann is a big chiddush, and is not being accepted by, I think, most poskim, because l'chora the reason is because grama means there's some degree of uncertainty. Right? Grama means you're not 100% sure that when you open the door, the flame's going. If you know that when you open the door, the flame's going to go up, the Gemara says that's not grama. Grama is when I have a fire, and I put a keg of water 5 feet away, and when the fire gets to the keg of water, it's going to break the keg of water, and it'll do kibbutz. So the Gemara says grama because you're not sure the fire will get to the keg of water. If it gets it, you're not sure it's going to break. It has to be some element of suffix. But if you know with certainty that you've set up a system where kibbutz is going to happen, so that's not called koyach acher mu'urav. That's how most poskim learn. So, given that, Heinemann's approach is on this nakuda is highly questionable. And that's an area that you have to look at very seriously. Heinemann has written a tshuva to defend himself. This issue, and again, once Heinemann was machadish this, so the Rabbanim who looked into it understood well it was that this nakuda was a chiddush that was not mekubal by poskim. Unfortunately, several years ago, a lot of Rabbanim decided to be mefarsim erev Pesach, mamash erev Pesach. And I mean, like, Purim time. I mean, mamash erev Pesach. So that was made a lot of women unhappy. But it's the kind of, and it's the kind of thing where I would say Rabbanim have to be proactive about it. For two reasons. One reason is because you don't want your balabasta to find that erev Pesach that she, or erev Yom Tov, that she can turn her oven up or down. And number two, because Rabbi Heinemann Lishitosa, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He holds his mutter. He's doing a great service to Klal Yisrael by convincing GE and Honeywell and Whirlpool to do these things, right? And that, again, two out of three issues are a great service to Klal Yisrael. So your balabatim are being marketed to with the most powerful marketing energy engines you have. You have Honeywell, GE saying Shabbos mode. You can turn your you can use your oven on Shabbos. And you're, what are you doing? You're waiting until they ask a Shaila. So that's not right. So your Bonim have to give Shurim to explain that everybody should be buying Shabbos mode because they need to have the Shabbos cut off and they need to have the blocking of the digital riyat. But, and if you are convinced by Heinemann's Chuvis, then you're Givaldic. But if you're unconvinced by the Chuvis, and if you hold that we should be Cholik on him, so then you have to actively be giving the Shurim, because otherwise we're not doing our job. Go ahead.
So, the only issue that we have is actually the raising or lowering the thermostat.
Correct.
Well, if we just leave it there, it's...
Correct, yeah. No, 100%. Right. I think I encourage my balabata to buy Shabbos mode ovens. I just tell them that they get two out of three advantages. Right? They have to have it, otherwise they'll end up getting a 12-hour cutoff. The only thing is that they have to treat it like a regular oven. Not like in other words, on Yom Tov, so when they're cooking in Yom Tov, it's kilo, they're of a regular oven, and they can't raise, and they cannot raise or lower the flames because every time you do that, you are going to kick in an electric igniter.
And also, why are we not afraid of extinguisher in that case? Even when you open the door, cold air is going to go in, and at some point when you close it, it's going to want to increase the heat.
No, because l'chari the same cooler that it's a psikration on a drabanan kal, right? There is an important mahalach in some rishon of Shlomo Zalman adopts this approach that something which is delayed is not a psikration, right? So that might be where this, but I'm not sure, but because something is delayed is not a psikration does not mean that a delay makes it into a non-grama. Makes it into a grama. That's
the two first things we say are good. plugging it, if we unplug the oven, would it have the same effect?
If you unplug the oven, then you will not be able to use it on...
Never mind, yeah.
Yeah, then it won't... It'll, the moment
that's
of the fire... They don't... good, so that's the... That is what I wanted to discuss about ovens on... and stoves on Yom Tov.
Yes, can I go ahead and turn it on?
Was that?
Yes, can I go ahead and turn it on?
To ask a guy... Yeah, in other words, let's say you're... Let's say, yeah, well, that should be okay. You know, to ask a goy, it's an emir l'nachri to do moilid. Right? Let's say I'm going out the first day Yom Tov. Second day Yom Tov, my wife wants to cook. All right? So she doesn't, we don't want the flame on the first day Yom Tov. So I can ask a goy to put the flame on second day Yom Tov. Right? Why? Because the goy is emir l'nachri to one day Rabbanon, turning on the flame a second day Rabbanon. It has to be l'tzorch mitzvah. So the chariot depends. If I don't want the flame on because I just want to save money, I'm not sure that's called tzorech mitzvah. If I don't want the flame on because it's shavuos and it's very hot, and it's that lechoyt tzorech mitzvah. If I'm afraid of a safety issue, that's for sure tzorech mitzvah. I just don't understand it because it's going to be on sometime. Right? But if a person says, having it all day, I'm not home, my kids are home, all right, so that's all tzorech mitzvah. So as long as it has been a mira, an amira l'nachri, and an isid run of moilid, that's a shvus to shvus, so the tzorech mitzvah will be okay. The same thing. In other words, asking a goy is, it would be l'chayra, kibui is, l'chayra is a kibui d'rabbanon, because it doesn't create any pechom, right? So I'm asking a goy to do a kibbutz de rabbanon. So again, the same thing. If it's a tzorech mitzvah, if it's because I just want to save money, I would say that's not a tzorech mitzvah. It's a hefsed, but not make a mira, a shvus to shvus l'tzorech hefsed. But if it's getting hot, so then I'm not so comfortable and it's affecting my earning yom tov. Or if I'm nervous for safety reasons, then yeah, then it should be okay. Go ahead.
Let's say someone just didn't want to turn on the oven before you have the because of to save money. But then maybe I did, we say sort of mitzvah asking that.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, probably. But that'd be a classic halacha vein morin
game. Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So could you explain the mechanism that Rapanin works?
So I don't think I have it. I don't think I could do it justice. I'd rather not do it. I understand that there's something, it's very much the grama switches of tzomet, where there's something cycling through, so that when you want to affect the change does not happen now. It happens later.
Do you
have a better understanding of it?
There's some element of randomness also, but it's still
going to
happen.
Right. Okay. Right. And Roland's saying that that you're not sure when it's going to happen, but it has to happen.
Right.
It has to happen, otherwise GE wouldn't sell it. But, you know, they could sue you. But it has to happen, right? So that's why, that's the question. Something which has to happen, you just have introduced a second mechanism to create some random event. Does that make it into a grammar?
So,
more than that, I...
Can I see if the agent had it
I'd
on?
Be fooling you if I would... it's only because I can only get away with it because you don't know it.
I'm just curious, is there any like kind of hashgacha on these ovens? Like someone who's actually making sure that they do what they say they do?
I think so. I think behind them, I can't imagine there's hashgacha on every single oven, but in terms of the approach, yeah, I assume so.
The we can argue that it's a safety hazard theoretically to have it on for, let's say, a 3D antenna.
Yeah.
Is that like, does Rabbi hold it as a safety hazard?
I hold that rabbis don't make these decisions. I can't tell a balabas if they say it's not safe. I'm going to say, I hold it is safe. No, I can't say that.
So
I can tell a balabas if it's unsafe. That I can do. I mean, they think it's safe, and I think it's unsafe. That I can do. But they're nervous, so I can't say. I don't understand it sometimes. You know, beyond for one day is safe, dude is not safe. So that doesn't make any sense to me. But
so in general,
but a balabas has to decide if it's safe or not.
To ask a manager generally on Yom Tov, that would be like the
to turn something down.
Yeah. Again, it depends what the issue is. If they just if it's an issue of money, I would say no. But otherwise, if it's a tzarich mitzvah issue, yeah.
I'm saying, and if they say I don't feel safe because the oven's been on for 2 days, I want to turn it off. Meaning is that
so? I would say if you don't, I'd say if you think it's a safety issue, I would not I would accept that. I don't think I'm... Go ahead.
Let's say it's off and you want the milchari to turn it on, but you don't have any other food. That would be considered sorech, right?
Yeah. Even if you have some food, I know you have to be one of more foods also. Yeah. Good. Okay. Now let's move on to something which is much more controversial. It needn't be, and how it became controversial is a pella, and that's a Jew from Chutzlar is going to Eretz Yisrael on... and be there for Yom Tov. So, I would say it's a davar poshut umvur and mukumu be'al poskim that when a chutznik goes to Eretz Yisrael, the chutznik has to keep Yom Tov Sheni. That's a mvur. It seems to be the din of mokim shenogu that when you go to a place and you have certain chumras. So you have to keep the chumras of mokum shiyotzah shom, mokum shiyigiyah shom. It is surprising that the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this din. Shulchan Aruch only addresses the Israeli who goes to Chutzlaretz. He does not address the chutznik coming in. But it was mukubal, and it was, again, all the poskim, without exception, that we usually consult, simply say, that's Taka the Din. You got Eretz Yisrael, you have a minig of Chutz of Yom Tov Sheni, you keep that Din in Eretz Yisrael. The question has picked up much greater urgency for two reasons, because there are more Jews going to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, that's number one. And number two, it has become much less convenient to have Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, because now, Baruch Hashem, when maybe people go to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to visit their children. So their children and their grandchildren are going to Yulim on second day Yom Tov. And they can't, they're missing the party, the FOMO, what's going on over here? I spent so much money to get to Eretz Yisrael, I can't spend the Yom Tov Sheni. They're going in, and sometimes you have for care, sometimes you have kids visiting parents, sometimes you have uncles and aunts, and they have these big Yulim going to the Galil. And you're going to miss the bus because Yom Tov Sheni and Chanami. So it's a much more urgent. And for some reason, which I have not tracked or traced, there are Rabbanim in our community who have many Balabatim who go to Eretz Yisrael, and they're Mekel and tell them that they can don't have to keep Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. In the Olam Yeshiva, it's I think it's mentioned at all. That Bechlal not even ask a Shaila. And the Olam Yeshiva, so then Dabar Poshe keeps second day Yom Tov Yisrael. In the modern Orthodox community, it has picked up, Akul has picked up some steam. And what's even more aggravating, it's aggravating that it's picked up steam primarily out of convenience. And it's more aggravating is that then there are some people who see this as a litmus test of how Zionist a rov is that even if he says halon yematzmut, if he's not mekel and yom tov sheni, is already not a card carrying ohev eretz yisrael. There is the history of the kula goes back to the chacham tzvi. The chacham tzvi has a pelet ketshuva where he says that if a Jew goes, if a chutznik goes to eretz yisrael, he need not keep yom tov sheni. Why? It's a mefurish gemara that you have to keep the chumras of mokum shiyotzim misham. So the Chacham Tzvi says, however, if this Jew would live in Eretz Yisrael and keep Yom Tov Sheni, he'd be over the Yisr Bal Tosef. Right? If a person goes, if an American makes aliyah and says, Ahavti Esadoyni, Ahavti, I love the Yom Tov Sheni. I can't imagine having a second Seder. Right, so I want to keep my Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. We'd say, "Oh, sir, Bal Toisef." It's a classic Bal Toisef, Gemara and Sukkah. Right, so it says the Chacham Tzvi, a chiddush is very hard to understand. He says, "When do we say that you're mechuyev to keep the chumris of sheyotza misham is if those would remain chumris if you would live in the new place. But if those chumris would become kulis, they can't be surim, so then there's no din of mokum sheyotzu misham. All right, kacham. Exactly, I understand the kacham. I'm not sure whether he's focusing in on the idea of chumris sheyotzu misham, and this is not a chumris because it comes to kula. I do not know, but the Chacham Tzvi was not accepted. I think Rav Avadi Yosef points out that the Gedolei Chachmei Sfarad did not accept the Chacham Tzvi. It's true in this particular case. There's a machlekes ledina between Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yosef. I don't know where I saw this, but I have in my notes that Rav Yosef says it's not even a das yochid. In other words, even if you have, sometimes when you have a shaila, so you want to be mitzarif shitas yichidois, so Rav Yosef says the Chacham Tzvi in this case does not even rise the bar of being a das yochid that you can mitzarif to other kulas. And Shlomo Zalman says not so. It is. He says this is a Chacham Tzvi. And if you want to be mitzarif to other shitas, it makes it into the das yochid sheefshar letzarif to other kulas category. What I found very interesting is that the Avkas Roichel, that's the Beis Yosef, had a shaila of can chutznikim have chutznikim in yonim in Eretz Yisrael? Why is that not a problem of Lysis Goydidu? Right? So, I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Today is a regular day of Chol HaMoed. So I can have a minion. We're doing the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Tov. We're davening a Yom Tov tikkun nigunim, Yom Tov tikkun Musa. How can I do such a thing? That's mamish. Place is going to do Kamosha Kosov. So the Avkas Reichel says it's a good shaila. I don't know how this happened, but he said it's already mukubal for a long, long time that Jews came to Eretz Yisrael and they had to keep Yom Tov Sheni. And he says it's not place is going to do. Why? Because look, the Israelis are davening also. They're also having minyanim. They're also saying shachar. Also doing musaf. All right, so Yom is a little bit different. They're also doing kriyas haTorah. A little bit different kriyas haTorah. So he says that's not a license going to do. Hayoy is that from when you look at the bigger picture, they all look like they're doing the same thing. That's okay. But what's very important is not only the tshuva and the justification is that he writes we've been doing this all along. And the footnote, I don't know who wrote the footnotes, the Avkas Reichel, says, Mino kodum zel alois regel af bezman achurban. Nilman midivri amedrash. That there was a minog to do aliyah leregel after churban bayis. Right? Af bishachorba mikdash lay botli Yisrael pame regel is to go up. And the minhogi agoinim is to go up. And the Beisaisim says that all the way back, ever since we've been doing Alila Regal, we've been keeping 2 days Yom Tov. So even though the Mechaber leaves it out of the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch is a kasha, but he writes in his tshuvas that B'chol Shana V'Shana Oilim L'Sholish Regalim Yichutz Laretz Yisrael V'Oisim Yoyim Sheni Shal Golias Kitikuna V'Kumishpata V'Chutz Laretz. He didn't even have he wasn't even on a defending a position. He says, that's talking the way it's being done. And Layoid and Mekapta Minyan Mechutzor, so Elon Regal. So this is it goes back all the way to the Kufas. That's why that footnote is very, very important. Why is it that that some Rabbonim are Mekel? So the two reasons that I can identify. One is that some Rabbonim are soft on what it means to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Right? The some Rabbonim will say, just because you live in New York, you're not in Eretz Yisrael. You're in Eretz Yisrael now. So in olden times, when if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you lived with dachkus, and you couldn't make a parndosa, and you couldn't find the kala to marry, so then you were a chutznik because you're heading back. But nowadays, it's true that your address is in New Jersey, New York, but in Eretz Yisrael, you have everything. You're mamish living properly. So who's saying you're going back to Chutz Laretz? Right? Who said you can't find a pronosav here? You're here. All right, so there are those who write things like that, but l'chayra, it's not correct. if you have your address in Chutz Laretz, if your family's Chutz, you plan to go back to Chutz Laretz. In other words, when the shiurim of Mokim Shenogu were, are you going back or not? It's not whether you're going back and you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah li regel of Ali Eretz Yisrael. All right, it's a problem, it's a kasha. So you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah li of Yishur Eretz Yisrael. But that doesn't. There are situations where Gedolei Poskim have told the guys have been learning Eretz Yisrael for several years, and they've come to Gedolei Poskim. Gedolei Poskim have said, if the Rosh Kollel would say, you're in for the long term, right? Where are you getting? I'm supporting you until you're mid 40s. Would you stay? I said, I get a contract from Rosh Kollel. I would stay. Or there are times that where Poskim would say, if you'd find a girl to marry, would you stay here and marry the girl? So find a kal over here and a shver over here. Of course I would stay here. Right, so at times when Poskim have said, it sounds like that you're here. You just, you don't think you're going to find the kal, you don't think you're going to find the parnasa. So that already, I don't think it's necessarily correct. I think a plan is a plan is a plan. But I could see. But the idea of going soft on where your place is because you have a second home in Eretz Yisrael. You have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? I understand why a person would say that, but halacha lemaisa. After Abdullah, you have a plane ticket. You're heading back. You're not a Toshav over here. Now, Shlomo Zalman had the following kula, which is a very, very big kula. Shlomo Zalman said if a person has a place in Eretz Yisrael, which he stays in every single Yom Tov, he's always coming there to Yom Tov. You see, it's a big kula because the man who wrote the footnotes on the Avkas Reichel said that people used to come do the regular every single Yom Tov, and they still kept 2 days. So that's a big kula. But Shlomo Zalman is a giant, is a titan. So Shlomo Zalman says, it's hard to argue with. So Shlomo Zalman says that. I mean, other poskim disagreed with Shlomo Zalman. Moshe would disagree with Shlomo Zalman. But Shlomo Zalman said, if you come every single Yom Tov, all right, exactly, what are the shurim? What's every single Yom Tov? What happens if you come three straight and this one? I don't know, I have to ask Shmuel about that. I have to find out from the family what exactly how the details. But Shlomo Zalman, it's hard to argue with the Baal Bosa once we say Mechon Shlomo Zalman Ramach, and cut that slack. So that's one source of where this kula is. The other source is really from a chumrah. So if you want to give a shir on a chumrah dos le'kula, this is it. There is a mahalach in the probably began from Chayim, and the rabbi, I think, used to discuss it every so often. And that was the following. That the question was, when the Gemara says, Yizar b'minig aviseichem yedeichem, hold on to the old minig. So the suggestion, I believe it comes from Rav Chaim, what do you mean, hold on to the old minig? It means do it the way they used to do it. Good, okay. Now, let's say, Bizman Beis HaMikdash, a Jew from Germany, they held it was German Jews, a Jew from Babel, would come to Eretz Yisrael, right? He'd make the trip to be with his kids for Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. One of the guys who didn't come up with the early Babel, right? So he would come, right? He'd come a week before. He'd come to Eretz Yisrael. Did he keep Yom Tov Sheni? L'chor not. Right? L'chor, he came to Eretz Yisrael. There's no suffix before he's Arab and Avsech Medechem. When everything was Kittikuna, Eretz Yisrael had no suffix Yom Tov, Babel had a suffix Yom Tov. I decided to go to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. So I came to Eretz Yisrael. No. So then there was no suffix Yom Tov. So I kept only one day. So the question is, so what's he's Harub Minag Avsechem Medechem? So what's the old minig? The old minig is that when I leave my home, that the old minig was that if I would travel, but Zman Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael, I'd keep one day. So now I'm keeping the old minig. I'm not coming from Babel. I'm coming from New York. Right? I'm not coming a week before. I'm 2 days before. But I get there. So Lechaira, if I would have done this, but Zman Beis HaMikdash, I would have kept only one day. That's a Gevaldig Gesvar. So the Rav, I get nervous about quoting, I don't remember exactly, but the Rav thought that this was such a good svar, we should be machmir. He didn't think we should be mekel. Mekel means it goes against the minhag Yisrael to be mekel, but he thought we should be machmir. What's being machmir? Being machmir means quietly put on tefillin. That's a gvaldig svar. So maybe you should put on tefillin quietly. No one looks around. Not in the chutznik binyan, right? When you go home, right, you put on tefillin, not with a bracha, right? Maybe, and again, I don't know exactly what, you know, who's saying what over here. Maybe you shouldn't make a shame of malchus when you make kiddush. It's such a powerful svara, you have to have a yom tov tikmil, right? But maybe you shouldn't say yeshema malchus, right? Maybe when it comes to Leil Seder, you can say the first one for sure. I don't know the next three. I'm not sure. Achilas matzah l'mara. So then it starts becoming a mahalach. So you make sure that you make your second Seder with a guy who didn't hear this Reb Chaim, and he had very much. He's keeping a regular Seder, right? So then if you open up the Ira Kodesh V'Amikdash by Michal Tukatsinsky, and there he quotes with Shmuel Salant. Shmuel Salant was the Rabbi Rashi of Yerushalayim. Right? Shmuel Salant was at the turn of the previous century. He was the Rabbi Rashi. And Shmuel Salant was Choshesh for this Mahalach. And he writes, he gives you a protocol of what to do. He tells exactly what to do. He tells you if you come to Chutz Laaretz, he says, we had a Davin Shachar of Musi Mamashi, Zerachel B'chatana. Exactly how to say Kiddush, who to hear from, Vuhule, because he wants to be Choshesh. And then, not to keep one day Yom, to fill a Vachas, but to be a Techumra. But it's a classic case of Mechumra, also the Kula. And that it is a Gevaldik Svara. It's a good Hara. It's not the way that we understand. He's our Binigav Sechmadech. We understood it means keep Yom Tov Sheni. It means that when you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're not keeping the Hizar ben Avsech Medechim, you're keeping the din of Mokim Shinagu. But Hayyos is a Gvaldik Svara. When I was younger, I was obviously very taken by the Svara. So if somebody would ask me, I would say, holy Rav Moshe, but I would suggest or advocate this approach. Until very serious Ben Torah came back and he said, Rebbe, people call this 1.5 days. This is 2.5 days. This is keeping Yom Tov and then having a whole albatross on your head thinking about brachas. He says it's been very, very difficult. So I said, all right, I hear, I was with Kabbal. I said, the Gedolei HaPoskim all say 2 days. Mamish, all the poskim, without any exception that I know of, all the poskim that we quote in Halacha L'maaseh say keep 2 days. All right, so won't be choshesh for the chumra of the Chachmei Brisk and Shmuel Salant. So that's halacha lemaisa. I hold back. There are people who still suggest 1.5 days, but 1.5 days, and this is where marketing is so important in Rabbanus. 1.5 days, people think 1.5 days, what's 1.5? They think, they told you 1.5. You think, all right, so I don't do the Rabbanus on the second day. You know, no, 1.5 days means I keep 2 days Yom Tov. But the second day I have a chumras that maybe I should put on tefillin, maybe I shouldn't say Shema Malchus. Right, that's what it means. So, mi chumra also de kula. Because once people started being concerned about this chumra, so then, shodan menarga a little bit in the Kedusha Yom Tov Sheni. There is a Alter Rebbe. Right, there are two pillars, amudim, which argued in favor of not of 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. One is the Chacham Tzvi, and one is the Alter Rebbe. The Chacham Tzvi, as we said, and the Alter Rebbe is because he understood that Yom Tov Sheni was a din for Chutzlaretz. In Chutzlaretz, I'm not doing it justice, but something along the lines that when you're in Chutzlaretz, you need an extra kedusha. You need Yom Tov Sheni. You need 48 hours of kedusha. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't need it. So the Alter Rebbe understood that it was a din in Chutz Laaretz. Again, Alter Rebbe is one of the Amudei Hayra, but this particular Hayra is based on Nister. So our Mahalach is not to Paskin based on Nister. That's why again, it's not obviously a person. If Chabad follows Alter Rebbe, then they follow all the Alter Rebbes. But You can't just pick one alter rebbe. That makes life a little bit more convenient. So that's the. But those are the two amudei ra, and this is the Rosh Mosalant and the Reb Chaim and that and which the Mahalach is based right now. But again, it's a laniyus daiti. This is something where Rav has to go through the sugyas, right? Make the decision you want to make, and then has to teach. Because the zeitgeist, the culture is against us, against the is lakula. In other words, there are the communities which are able to afford going to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, the modern communities. So they have latched on to this leniency. So it's a self generating and self perpetuating kula. And it's one which comes in the situation where keeping the halacha has increased inconveniences. So for Rav to sit back and say, I'm going to wait till the shalos come to me, you're going to end up finding that you're balavata and we're keeping only one day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. So it's the kind of thing where you have to give shiur, you have to teach, you have to go through the sugyas. As we early on pointed out, you have the most of the makoros, at least the basic makoros, to work with, and it's an important thing. And number one, to make it it's an important issue to understand the sugya and come to your position in advance. It's not the kind of thing that when you get to Shaila and Reish Chodesh Nisan and you're worried about all the Hilchos Pesach that you're going to be able to figure out. It's also a thing where I think it's an area that what all the Gedolei Peskim say is losing ground within our community. It's just not it's not the way halacha should be developing. Yeah.
That's why I talk about
Sharing and Yom Tov. Okay, so Sharing and Yom Tov is the issue of Sharing and Yom Tov is that here there has been a major change in the way society works. And that is that when bathing from week to week was the norm, was accepted, all right? So then as the parameters of the halacha are, that a Yom Tov, one's allowed to do bishul atzorchechol nefesh, and one's allowed to do melachos bishul if it's a dover shavah lechol nefesh. Right? In other words, the Gemara says in Ksuvas that a melachos mutter in Yom Tov when it is something that's enjoyed by everybody. So the Gemara discusses whether venison is only enjoyed by a small group of people, can one cook venison in Yom Tov? But from that Gemara we understood that the getter of Bishul is that Bishul's mutter and a dover, and that means any hanno which is shovel a chol nefesh. So the Gemara says in Beya, Rechitzas pon of yodav raglov, according to Beis Hillel, washing hands, feet, and face, that's a dover shovel nefesh. That's a hanno on the same level as eating. So therefore, to boil up hot water, bishul, on Yom Tov, bishul, l'serchol nefesh mutter, and a dover, shavachol nefesh, is of the same category. Okay, so the Gemara says that's why one can boil up water for ponov, yodav, v'raglav. All right, so now the question is that nowadays we would say that to shower, to have a full-bodied ponov, yodav, v'raglav, chitza, that's a dover shovel chol nefesh, right? To be able to shower, so one day Yom Tov, all right, so you'll shower before and after Yom Tov. Good. That's still within, but not to shower for 2 days. Not to shower for Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So that already, for many Americans, that is already something that's close to being intolerable. So so now the question is, does that become a dover shovel nefesh? Let's explain a little bit better. When you take a shower, so you're taking hot water out of the hot water boiler. Good? However, when you remove hot water from the hot water boiler, so new hot water is coming in. Right? New cold water is coming, I should say. New cold water, you're bringing in cold water. You're bringing in cold water that's now getting mixed up with a large batch of hot water. That's called bishul. Right? So you're bringing in cold water, and sometimes you'll even cause the flame to go on, which could be avara. So you're doing bishul in order to do a rechitzas kol guf. Mishnah says aser. Am I allowed to do bishul in order to do a rechitzas kol gufay? So that means we take the next step and say that this is already a dover shavu'al chol nefesh, and now it already rises the bar of bishul lachila and is mutter. That's question number one. Question number two is that the Gemara says in Shabbos that one isn't allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos because of Gezeiras Balonim. Because the people running the Merchatzois, people running the hot Shvitzes, so they would invite people to come in on Shabbos, right? They would have big signs, open on Shabbos, come in before Shachris, take a hot bath. We have heated the water up, have hot water heated from Erev Shabbos. We have fires going in from Erev Shabbos, water from Erev Shabbos. All right? So the Shomer Shabbos, hot Shvitz, pay before Shabbos, bring your tickets on Shabbos, Givaldi. Only Chazal found out that was happening, that they were heating the water up on Shabbos. And so therefore Chazal, ultimately, they tried to make various gezeiras, but the Balonim outsmarted Chazal until the Chazal said, no hot baths on Shabbos, no rechitzas gufoy on Shabbos. That was called Gezeiras Balonim. All right? Takonas Chazal, kem shebolo sibosa, lebolo takanta. Right? So we don't have Balonim anymore. We don't have people who are advertising that they're being Shomer Shabbos and they're not Shomer Shabbos, but Kevin should both as well as loy bolo takanta. So we have a gzera and we cannot take a hot bath on Shabbos. Ramban says that this is one of the cases where Chazal's gzera yomtiv otu Shabbos. They made gzera in Shabbos, they include yomtiv. That's a question amongst the poskim. Is that a question amongst the Rishonim, whether Yomtiv is included or not. Right? And then the next question is whether a shower is included in the Gzeres Merchatzois, because the L'chara Chazal had in mind the bath. So is the shower significantly different that we can say, Al Zele goes with Chazal? And then the next question is, what about if you take poshrim? Did Chazal have in mind a hot shvitz? They also have in mind a warm, comfortable, but not the hot shvitz. So those are three machlokes amongst the Rishonim. Does the Gzeiras Balonim apply to Yomtiv? Does it apply to shower? Does it apply to Pershim? So Lanias Daiti, what I tell people is that there are two issues over here. One is, does Gzeiras Balonim apply? Number two, is it has it risen to the bar of Bishul Achilo because of Dovah Shavuchol Nefesh? So there is a Ksav Sofer that says that when a person is Mitzta'er, so avoiding Tzar rises the level of Eichol Nefesh. In other words, how do you measure whether something rises the bar of Eichol Nefesh? How do you measure Shavuchol Nefesh? How do you know? Gemara said venison is not shavuchol nefesh. So how do we know that bathing full, that the discomfort that we have by not bathing, wanting to, or the tainug of bathing, that that's the tainug of achila? I'd say not so clear that the same tainug of achila, right? First, if you had a choice of whether not to eat or whether not to bathe, so one day it might be a tasa, right? 2 days, I think eating would win out. 3 days, and eating would win out. So how do you know that it rises to the bar? It's time to come with a cool. You have me to say deraisa. Now, if you're boiling up water and doesn't rise to the bar of oichel nefesh, it doesn't rise to the bar of oichel nefesh, even though it sounds like a dovish oichel nefesh. So then you're moving up against it. Didn't deraisa? So there hasn't been any, as far as I know, any Moses Goliath Torah that sat down and said we are mikan. We're going to say this, we make the Hashara. So this kind of thing, when you're talking about a generational change, there should be a Haskom and Sapoiskim. So there's like Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says that avoiding Tzar, that's the getter of Dovah Shavuchol Nefesh, and that's the getter of Eichel Nefesh. So what I would venture is the following. But I would suggest, now these dietary, and again, this is, everybody has to, I mean, rubbers decide how they want to go forward. That if a person says, it's not a problem for me, 3 days, air-conditioned houses, it's not a problem, I feel comfortable, my 20 years ago, everybody went 3 days without on a 3-day yontif, had a special siyata d'shmaya, it was okay, it worked out, right? Or so then I would say tavi lo bracha. I think that's the norm. That's the way it always was. We should keep it. If a person says, "I feel gross," 3 days without showering. Certainly, sometimes you have high school kids. They go to their kalim. So then I would think that when it's 3 days. When it's 2 days, I don't. And again, this is a judgment call that I'm imposing, but totally a judgment call. It's 1 day. So now 1 day every Shabbos we shower with a span of 25, 26 hours. Right? So that should be okay. 2 days. So I also think, so you're going to feel uncomfortable on by Musaf time. So that's only a few more hours till Abdullah. Right? But I could see people disagreeing with that. 3 days, and a person says, "I feel gross." I'm a Kabbal, right? You know, you're not used to it. You're not used to this. Not going for 3 days. Who ever heard of that in America nowadays? Some people shower twice a day nowadays. So then I would say the following. If you're mitzdayer, so then I would say, and to be safe, shower in the Yom Tov Sheni. That's 3 days. It's got to be one Yom Tov Sheni, right? So shower on the Yom Tov Sheni. And l'chara, you have to do it a little bit earlier in the day because you are boiling up water that has to be used still. So to shower right at the end of Yom Tov, you're boiling up the water for the next person, for the person who wants to do the Ponei Raglav, whatever, who wants to use hot water for... So you want to have it a little bit earlier in the day, and then you have to give them instructions. They tell them it should be only a shower and not a bath, and it should be poshrim, it shouldn't be piping hot, and Yom Tov Sheni is the Rabbanon to begin with. So that I feel comfortable with. On the Yom Tov Sheni, whether it's the last day of the three, or whether it's the middle day, like in this situation, where it's on Yom Tov Sheni, where it's the Rabbanon to begin with, to be mekel, if you're mitzdar, and to be careful to chop all the possible leniencies of Yer's Balonim, a poishim, not a hot shower, but a warm shower, and then you have to instruct them how to use soap also. And that's also the maila of being mekel in this case, because if you're being machmer, then they'll take the shower anyways and they'll lather up and do schita. So this way you have a chance to tell them to use, that they can just let the soap run through their hair and the water run through their hair. They can't lather up, l'chor that's schita, and they can't use hard soaps, probably mamachir. But that's the instruction that I would give. I would, if somebody would ask me, I would say, Yom Tov Sheni, poishrim, shower, and a little earlier in the day, and all, only with three yontan, and if they are mitzdar. Right, that I think is a pretty safe ground.
You don't have to go limb by limb?
What was that?
You don't have to do limb by limb?
I don't see why. I'm not sure it makes a real difference. In the 9 days, it makes a difference. I'm not sure over here, the water's coming down.
Was
that? So you have to pat yourself dry, not to schita, maybe use more than one towel. Daniel, go ahead.
So, does the halacha shift if you're living in a big apartment building where the water is always it's kept constantly hot?
Yeah.
It's also an element of randomness because at any given moment somebody else could be heating up the water for you, so, as opposed to having your own boiler or your connection monitor the exact change.
It could be, but you have to do more research. I'll tell you why. Because the in large apartment buildings there are two mahalachim. One mahalach is the old mahalach where there's these large boilers. And like you don't know what you don't when you pull up water, you don't know who else is. So there could be a suffix situation. However, in many large apartment buildings, you're going back to the 50s even, even the 60s and 70s for sure, they have what's called the hot coil system. And that is that there's an electric coil that the water is not kept in hot boilers. The water is kept cold. But the water is brought over hot coils to the apartments. And that's Mamish Bishul. So you have to do the research to find out what the system is. Yeah?
Even assuming the shower is Shovel Chol Nevesh.
Yeah.
So with the Bishul that's happening after you finish showering, would you consider Lutzorich the shower?
So that's, I'm assuming that is correct. But that's why I say do it earlier in the day, so that it'll be let some tzorach for some other head to take a circumstance afterward. Yeah.
If I'll agree to take a cold shower, is that much better?
Is it much better? Yeah.
You
a cold shower, then. Cold shower
you
is.
It's time to take a cold shower, I'm saying.
But cold meaning zero have water on.
Zero,
not just a little bit.
Right, you're
saying
it's going to be very.
Cold shower is, yeah, a cold shower. In the kibbutzim in Eretz Yisrael, after they take care of their refet, they do. They use cold showers on Shabbos. The issue of cold showers only. The issues are the schita and the towels and so on and so forth. But otherwise,
we're going to daven with in the classroom. So if anybody wants to stay, can stay.
I know, and I'm very sorry. I was looking at that clock.